Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
It's good to have you on board. We're live in Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. Starting the hour off with a bang as we go out to the Progressive Guest Line. A longtime radio veteran, JT the Brick, Radio Raider Nation Radio out here in Las Vegas. On X at JT the Brick joins the program now. Hey, Brick, good to talk to you, man. How are you?
Great being on, guys. I hope you're doing well. Doing great today. Thanks.
We have to get into the Raiders coaching situation, the number one pick overall, but we have to begin with this. You were telling us in the break, you're a big Hall of Fame guy. You go back almost every single year. What happened in the last 20 minutes is a black eye for the sport, in my opinion. Bill Belichick did not get elected and put in to the Hall of Fame on the first time around. Your thoughts?
It's purely politics from the cronies who are in there and the voters to make a statement over Deflategate and Spygate, which you could say is fair to debate that. I mean, you could say debating Pete Rose over the decades with an asterisk. He was a player. He wasn't a coach. How he gets in. This is so disgraceful, Mitch, that the greatest coach, championship coach in NFL history, who lapped Lombardi, lapped Shula, not in wins, but all these championships, has to wait. You know what can happen when you wait and you have to wait a year? God forbid something happens to your health. Mm-hmm. I watched Tom Flores get in the Hall of Fame in a wheelchair. They made him wait in a wheelchair into his 80s as Dungy and Cowher were already in and not Tom Flores. God forbid something happens to Belichick and his health and you're going to make him lose out on a year of his life being enshrined in Canton, Ohio in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, where I've already seen they have an area already put aside for him and are going to make him wait.
Great point, too, with Dungy in the room as well. And how great Flores was. Excellent point as well. They also have to be careful. You know, we've been following sports a long time. I would say cork in my bat, performance-enhancing drugs, that's cheating. There's a difference between cheating and gamesmanship. So for them to use that word when describing Belichick, with people in that room, I think, is also a disgrace.
Well, look, Paulie, I think there's more to this story. And dive into Patriot fatigue for some of these Patriots. First off, Adam Vinatieri should have been first ballot. You don't make Adam Vinatieri wait. You want to make Eli Manning wait? Okay. Adam Vinatieri was the greatest kicker of his era. Why is he waiting, right? He should get in. And then when you look at what they did to Robert Kraft, we know why Robert Kraft had to pay his penance for his shenanigans down in Jupiter, Florida. But he should have been fast forward right in with all of his Super Bowls and championships. And he's elderly, and they're making him wait. But what they're doing to Belichick, and I'll even go one step further, the fact that he's not candidate A for multiple jobs. Look, you don't have to like him. You don't have to like the girlfriend, the situation in his personal life. But the fact that Atlanta passed on him in the initial cycle when he could have been coaching for Arthur Blank and could have been the head coach in Atlanta, and they settled on the fired Kevin Stefanski, and Belichick can't get the Bills job over Joe Brady. Say what you will about Belichick. He's had a brilliant overall career, and he should be in the Hall of Fame first ballot. It's disgraceful. And it shines a negative light on the Hall of Fame, and they don't like that. The Hall of Fame wants to be prestigious.
Mm-hmm. All great points.
Yep.
Okay, so you have the pulse of the Las Vegas Raiders as well as anybody. A lot of these job openings now, we've had 10. A bunch of those are filled, and they fired Pete Carroll now weeks ago. At this stage of the game, like, what are we talking about here? Who is the favorite, in overall to get the job as we speak?
Well, Mitch, over the last couple of years, man, and no one's dealt with more coaches in media history than me, 17, and I've dealt with all of them. I mean, that's a big number. I mean, Kirk Gowdy can't say that. Keith Jackson can't say that. You could say that about me. We go back a long way, and it's hard to predict what they're going to do because all of the coaches that they fired quickly in the past, other people could be looking at that, but all the coaches that they fired recently deserved to be fired. They didn't do a good job. Pete Carroll could have been here for 3 years. They went to go get Geno. Geno didn't work. I thought Geno would play much better, let alone competitive. He couldn't last a year. Then you look at what happened before that with Josh McDaniels. He's coaching in the Super Bowl again, a very great play caller, wasn't a good head coach. When Mark Davis watched the whole thing unravel with him in his second year, they said, no, we got to get rid of him, and they got rid of him. So the coaches that are being let go are being let go for a reason. Coming to this hiring cycle, I've always said Kubiak from day one. He checks the boxes for me. His dad, coaching, best friends with Elway. He grew up in a locker room. Number two, he understands culture. He's been in a great tree. I love a great coaching tree. The job he did this year is fabulous. Now, when you talk about his personality, I don't know much about that. Can he lead an entire organization in an offense, defense, and special teams meeting? Well, we don't know. We'll see what happens. Eventually, he's going to get a job, but it's delicate now because Brady's worked a lot of those games. Brady's vetted him as a play caller because he's calling the games. I think he should be the top choice. If not, I'm okay with Davis Webb because it's a big swing. And the Raiders took a big swing with Al Davis, with John Madden. They took a big swing with John Gruden, and those swings worked out. But he doesn't have a lot of experience. And as you guys saw the breaking news, Denver fired their offensive coordinator. A lot of people think to keep Davis Webb in the building. And then I'll throw it back to you guys. What about Sean McDermott? Did anybody watch football the last 9 years? It wasn't perfect. I'm not saying perfect, but is it because Pete Carroll failed with the Raiders that they don't want to go with a guy who's been successful and has been around the block? I'd go Kubiak 1, I'd go Webb 1A, and then after that, I mean, the candidates, you're going to pair him with Mendoza. We know you're pairing him with Mendoza. Get me a young offensive play caller, and I'll take that, and I think that'll be the birth of the Raiders turning it around with the new-look offense.
What if the Jets call with a Godfather offer?
I would pass. I mean, the Godfather offer is what? 4 first-rounders, a player? And to do all that, if there were multiple quarterbacks, if you told me there was a quarterback, I'll give you an example. I talked about this on my shows. If you said Jackson Dart is available at 17 or 14, okay, if you told me there was a Bo Nix guy out there at 12, all right, possibly I move out of Mendoza. There's no one left, Paulie. What are you going to do? The Raiders haven't had the first pick overall since Jamarcus Russell. That was a unique situation. Everyone in the league, 10 teams would have took him number one. 10 other teams would have taken him number two. Mendoza's a lock at number one. He's a good kid. He's got great character. He makes all the throws. Is he perfect? No. But he's about as good as you can be polished to come in and do what Drake May did with New England if you get the draft and free agency right. I don't think he's Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, but I think he could be a player that could instantly turn the Raiders around. I would not trade that pick. Make it a no-brainer. Keep Bowers, keep Genty, get him, and buy a new offensive line. Do what the Bears did. Go get 2 offensive line starters with Jackson Powers Johnson and Colt Miller, and all of a sudden you got a pretty good offensive line if you do it right in free agency.
Yeah, it appears to me like the Raiders, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, they would probably turn down the deal unless it's just too good to say no to, because they probably don't want to wait until next year. It's a better quarterback class, JT, but you don't know where you're going to be picking next year in the draft as well. So maybe it's like the pro would be, well, maybe we can get Arch Manning, but maybe you're picking 11th next year and you never know.
Yeah, Mitch, you nailed it. I'm an Arch Manning guy. Would have been fascinating if Arch Manning came out with Mendoza in the same class, because you got to look at Arch Manning as a long-term lock with the DNA and coming in from where he was to probably be really good. I'd go all in on Arch Manning, but the Raiders aren't in that situation now. And Paulie, you made a good point. The Jets are number two. The Jets are highly motivated to move up to number one, but I don't see that Godfather deal. Mm-hmm. I think the Raiders took a lot of pain this year. We all live in Vegas, right? I never expected a season like this, especially when the Raiders beat New England opening day in New England. I thought the Raiders would win 7-8 games, maybe best 9. And then after that, they only won 2 more games. And you're watching the Patriots feast on that easy schedule. Anything that could go wrong for the opponent went wrong. The Patriots eat up and devour that schedule, and now they're playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. What do you think of Sean Payton taking shots at the Raiders, even now?
I'll say this, he's public enemy number one going forward with the Raider Nation. He's a wise ass. All the guy wants to do is drink cold beer with Kenny Chesney on a boat somewhere, and now he's taking shots at the Raiders. And the Raiders, remember, he turned down Al Davis, but he had respect for Al Davis. And I know he has respect for Mark Davis, because a lot of those guys do, but what he's doing now, it's what's happening in the rest of the world. Distract, distract. Sean Payton is probably going after Davis Webb to stay. He's taking shots at the Raiders. Raiders because he wants everybody to forget the fourth down call where he lost the AFC championship game. Sean Payton, follow the money, lost the AFC championship game by not kicking a field goal to go up 10-0. He didn't even have someone standing on the roof telling him the weather was going to be bad coming in there, and he was arrogant. He lost the championship game because he was too arrogant to do what his former boss, Bill Parcells, would have done, take the three to go up 10-0.
Yeah, he wanted to go up 14-0. He said it after the game. In about a minute here, who do you like in the game? What's your early gut feeling on Seahawks and Patriots?
Yeah, Seahawks all day, Mitch. I just think they're powerful. Their special teams will be a difference in this game. Obviously, their defense, they got ball hawks. I think their defensive line is actually underrated. Both offensive lines, I think New England's going to have problems on the left side of their offensive line. But Vrabel's an X factor. Vrabel can change everything with the emotional speech coming out of the tunnel and understanding the long bad bunny halftime. That's an advantage to Vrabel over McDonald. So I like the Patriots to keep it close, but I think Seattle wins and they cover the spread.
Love the fire, my man. Great talking to you, yeah. Brick. Thank you for the
Thanks,
time.
Guys.
We appreciate
it was a
that.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Well done.
Follow him on X at JT the Brick on the Progressive Guest Line, Raider Nation Radio out here in Las Vegas. No to a Jets offer.
Watching the Bears-Rams game, Peyton said to ESPN, I can't believe all these coaches that are passing on field goals. And then a week later.
Is that right?
Yeah. He was watching the Bears game with the Seth Wickersham. He goes, I can't believe these coaches won't kick field goals
You're
anymore.
Kidding.
Yeah. And
amazing.
Then it happens a week later.
Absolutely amazing. I'll tell you about a website with so many tools that'll help you become a better college basketball handicapper. Coming up next on Follow the Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
All right, so we are getting a lot of reaction on X regarding the Bill Belichick. I can't even believe this happened. I mean, that we're having this conversation. In the last half an hour, it broke that Bill Belichick did not receive enough votes to get inducted into the Hall of Fame the first time around. He needed 40 out of 50 votes, did not get it. So that means at least 11 people left him off the ballot. Astonishing turn of events. And I've been asking about like a betting market, if it ever existed. I like, why would they even post it? You could not have made the yes, no big enough. A lot of people on X asking the same thing because they're pissed. They think it's childish and petty. They're asking, so does this mean they're going to do the same thing to Tom Brady? And they're going to make him wait? We all know the answer to that is tongue-in-cheek that they're asking, but I can't, right? If they're going to make this
outrageous.
Up about, if they're going to hold the Deflategate against Belichick and keep him out of the Hall of Fame.
By the way, the final score of the game was 45-7.
Yeah, it was over within the second quarter.
How do you complain and file a protest and complain about the PSI and the ball and the air pressure of the ball when you lose 45-7? That's all about the Indianapolis
and then,
Colts, too.
And by the way, file it away for what? Was that 2014?
I believe so. He lit up Seattle in the Super Bowl, Brady.
We're 12 years down the road, and now Bill Polian is still holding that against Bill Belichick. And evidently, he was a major voice in the room today saying, we got to make him wait, pay a penance.
Well, JT hit on it too. No one was going to hire him.
No.
Can you imagine?
He was basically blackballed.
Atlanta Falcons wanted nothing to do with him. It was more show upper management that they didn't. Fontenot and I know Lombardi ripped him several times. And
I think Atlanta.
How laughable that was. It's like, okay, so it didn't. You know, Nick Saban had a bad time and a bad go of it his first year at Alabama as well. So it didn't go well for him at North Carolina. Okay. But you still can't deny the success he had. in the NFL and what he did with the Giants as a DC and how he turned around the Patriots immediately and won the Super Bowl in 01 and how many Super Bowls and AFC title appearances he has.
Right. So, and you said this earlier, right? Belichick even brought, like, it's that the Deflategate was not a Belichick thing. That was a Brady thing.
Yeah, he immediately said to ask Tom.
Okay. So if that's the case.
Right. But then the
voter should be consistent and hold it against Tom and keep him out as well.
And that's when Belichick had one of his best moments. He did a press conference to explain air pressure.
That's right. Oh, that
and
was
he
tremendous.
Went like, he went Mr. Science on
it. Yeah, he did.
And it was unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
And he also referenced Spygate in that as well. Thinking, guys, come on. Everyone knew what we were doing. Again, like I said earlier, I can write it down and have an assistant write down what the signals mean, but I just can't record it. Give me a break.
So what's the price on Brady not to make it when he comes up?
I can't imagine they do that.
I'm
trying to think like these buffoons. He won a Super Bowl in Tampa.
Yeah, they
so it's
I mean, but would they make the no 500-1 on that? Like what?
This is embarrassing. This is just
of course it is.
This just happened. This is breaking news. They're just gonna get mocked.
They're going to get absolutely publicly lambasted.
Good. Peter King was all over from the get-go. He goes, if they would have the balls to do this again, this is just embarrassing.
Oh, they're going to... The people who voted against him immediately have to be feeling regret. And they have to, like, go home tonight, and I hope their phones are lit up by people who they know, and they'll be like, what the hell is this? And I hope they feel shame. And they're like, oh, can we have a redo, please? Did they think this one through enough? Again, I can't wait for more stories to come out about this because Napoleon won them over with this. Again, did they go in thinking that they were going to vote for Belichick and then Napoleon changed their minds? Like, how weak are you as a person not to stand up for what you think is right? And you're right, Paul. How did somebody in the room not say, hold on a second here, let's pump the brakes?
What are we
doing? It's Bill Belichick here. He's the best coach ever. 8 Super Bowls, 6 as a head coach. What'd you say, 21 winning seasons?
Yeah.
And every single year in the AFC title game, mostly hosting that game.
You need 40 out of 50.
Right.
He fell short. Can you imagine if it was like way short?
I can't wait to see the numbers. Terrible job by everybody involved. You're never going to get that one back.
Second all time in wins.
Yeah,
12 Super Bowl appearances.
Only 12, that's all.
17 division titles, 21 winning seasons, 9 conference championships. No. Unbelievable defensive coordinator with the Giants. No.
If Belichick would have been 1,000-1 today,
I don't think I would have taken it. I know. It's like I'd laugh you out of the room. Oh, they're not going to do that.
Right.
That's crazy. But then again, we said earlier, you go back to Hall of Fame in baseball. There's always someone. Nah, I can't vote him in. Nah, he's going to have to wait.
Right.
I can't do it.
Now, 10,000-1, anybody offers you 10,000-1 on anything, you got to at least think about it, right? All right, so here's the website that you need to file away for the rest of the college basketball season and beyond. Had a video tutorial on this today, and it was exceptional. It's College Basketball Analytics. So the site is cbbanalytics.com, and the people involved, like former ESPN researchers, analytics guy at Golden State, like they're really, really sharp. I would compute this to, or equate it to, I should say, Fangraphs or Baseball Savant for baseball, but it actually might be better. We're talking about every team in the country. Paul, they have on-off numbers for every college basketball player. For example, as they were toggling through today, Bennett Sturts, Iowa, has the biggest on-off numbers or the biggest difference in the entire country. Now, that could mean something for a live in-play betting. That could also mean, like, what if he has to miss a game overall and he's not there for the Hawkeyes? They also have, I mean, I'm only going to hit the tip of the iceberg here. They have first and second half stats and splits on everything. And, for example, last night, this would have been a good one to discuss. But when you toggle through it again, BYU has the best second half points per possession in the country. And they made that insane run in the second half. Did they get help by the referee? Sure they did. But that's just one of the things that you can find on there. You can toggle by player, team, or conference. The side-by-side previews on the screen are absolutely phenomenal. So you can go to like any matchup, and then it clicks on like offense versus defense. I can't recommend it enough, and here's the deal. Again, it's cbbanalytics.com. And when you go there, use the code VSIN30. You're going to get $30 off any subscription to the site. And to put that in perspective, like a month subscription is $30. So basically when you sign up, it's going to be your first month for free. And I can't wait to dive in more. And that's going to start tonight moving forward. So very good job out of them. And I can't recommend enough. You can get lost. We've said this before during the baseball season. You can handicap the baseball card for 16 hours every single day.
What'd you think of the Peralta trade? I thought you, for the Mets, you can't give up your top two prospects.
They gave up a lot.
I know. Freddie better be an ace.
He has to be. And there's no doubt he has to be the opening day starter. And I think that also tells you that the Brewers have so much confidence in their young guys. Not only the Miz, but also that Logan Henderson, who was awesome, and they only brought him up for a very small window of time last year to make starts. So if Woodruff can stay okay, and you got the two best prospects from the Mets, I think that's probably a good job by the Brewers overall.
Well, you got the Miz.
That's what I said, yeah.
Did you say the Miz?
I said the Miz,
I thought you missed the Miz.
Yeah, the Miz. But now for the Mets, you're looking at Peralta.
Bichette.
They got signed.
They salvaged this. This looked like a disaster. They salvaged it.
I'd say right now, all things are pointing up, but the rotation here could be Peterson, Holmes, McClain, Manaea, throw in Senga. It's pretty good if they could stay healthy. Now, that's a big if.
Mm-hmm.
I would also tell you that...
But the Brewers weren't going to do the deal? Why did you give up both guys?
That's
too much.
Huh?
It's Freddie Peralta. It's not Nolan Ryan.
Well, Peralta I think he had his best year ever last year, but I would agree with you. Also, but some of these rotations now are crazy good. What the Rangers did...
That was a good trade.
So again, now based on health, they can go DeGrom, Eovaldi, Mackenzie Gore, Jack Leiter, and then some of the younger guys?
Yeah.
Wow, is that good. They were, the day that they made the move, I immediately fired up Circa and other books just to see what they were to win the American League. They were plus 1650 to win the American League. I'm like, that might be worth a bet. I didn't. They're down to like 13-1. But the Red Sox getting Suarez. Ranger Suarez. Crochet, Gray, Suarez, Bayo, some of their other younger guys as well. Like that division now all of a sudden with what the Blue Jays have done in the offseason, they got Dylan Cease.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees are going to have Garrett Cole coming back so they can go Fried, Rodon, Cole, Schlittler, Warren.
Yeah.
And we're not even haven't even brought up the Tigers and Skubal yet in the American League. Very good job. It's going to be a battle now to the death, I think, in the American League. The Mariners, they might be as good as anybody with the rotation.
Mm-hmm. Excited for the season. Dodgers have a pretty good staff, too.
Yeah, they're okay. They're all right.
Yeah, I still can't get over that. They'll go Yamamoto, Snell, Glasnow, Ohtani, Suzuki.
They could actually go Ohtani like as the five if they wanted to.
Yeah, I know.
Or they could make it a six-man rotation if they don't want to, whatever.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
This is outrageous. I can't get over this. This is so stupid and petty. This is unbelievable and an embarrassment.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it's God.
Honestly, again, I can't imagine going to bed tonight and putting your head on the pillow and falling asleep all right, knowing that you didn't vote Bill Belichick first ballot Hall of Famer.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
So we had JT the Brick on the show 30 minutes ago, and he covers the Raiders as close to that organization as anybody. And we were talking about what they're going to do at head coach, if they would consider trading down from number one. If the Jets, for example, offered a motherlode type of deal, JT, you can get his answer when you go back and listen to the Follow the Money podcast, wherever you can find them. I'm looking right now at Kelce for the next head coach of the Raiders, and Clint Kubiak just jumped from 72% to 84%.
Well, makes sense if you connect the dots. John Payton just fired his OC, Lombardi. Connect the dots and say, you're not going to the Raiders, I'll keep you Davis Webb, who they like a lot, 30 years old.
So if you want to rule Webb out at this point, Kubiak obviously makes the most sense. Guys behind him... at Kelce right now, Vance Joseph is 7%. I can't imagine the Raiders are going to go to Vance Joseph for this job. Brian Flores is at 2. Brian Daboll's at 1. What do we make of Brian Daboll right now? Can he get the
gig? He has an agreement to be the OC with the Titans
mm-hmm.
unless he gets the Raider job. It's like Flores. You're the defensive coordinator of the Vikings again, unless you get a head coaching job. And things are going crazy when Cleveland, Monken was just 71%. Now he's down to 30%. And again, talking to our people in Cleveland, Haslam keeps changing his mind about what he's going to do.
Oh, my God. Earlier today,
I thought Schwartz was $4.
Yeah, now he's 24%. The Nathan Shielhaas guy, 62% now.
Yeah.
He has flipped to the favorite.
Yeah, again, if, at any point in your life, if you've had a cup of coffee with McVay, you're qualified.
Yeah, no kidding.
Kubiak, 85%. My God.
Well, that, I think, makes some sense. And what JT was saying earlier,
because it just happened, too, yeah.
Like, the play designs and how he operated with the offense this year with Seattle, obviously, I mean, and to have Darnold play like that again, great job out of him. Now, will he be a leader of men? Like, what's the message going to be like on a daily basis during practice, in the locker room, getting, you know, kids fired up for the games? Who knows? But this stuff is changing all the time now. And Davis Webb just went down to 3% now at Kelce. So,
oh, wow.
Earlier today, again, Joe Brady was 12-1 to get the Bills job.
You like it? What do you think?
I like the Brady gig. I think
you're throwing McDermott under the bus even more with this move, too.
By keeping
him?
Like
you said earlier, yeah. I wanted to unleash hell and be more creative, but I wasn't allowed to. That's another one.
If Brady was incapable of running his full offense, that, again, that was pure speculation out of people today, like NFL people, saying that's maybe why Bean wanted to keep him on board, because he knew about the friction. And also McDermott, I guess, would go out of his way to praise other people not named Joe Brady on the team, like in the staff, working with the offense at times. So maybe, like,
kind of like Stefanski, like how he's holding on the game balls, like not giving one to Sanders and some other stuff that people thought was weird.
Sure.
That seems petty as well.
I wonder, teams hold how Dable acts on the sidelines against him,
Yes. Much
like voters held Deflategate against Belichick just moments ago?
That's fair, yeah.
He was a madman.
You can't go running into the tent and berate a doctor.
That was a really bad look for him.
Especially when the guy's had several concussions.
Yeah.
Been in the tent before. Can't do that.
No.
No doubt about it. And I know the Giants weren't happy about it either. That was a bad look. But I am surprised, though, that he could only wind up with Tennessee. I thought he would get a better job than that.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
But it's also, if you go back to Sunday, how Brady praised Kubiak repeatedly and how aggressive he was, you know, his quote, going for it and being aggressive on that final drive. That was well done.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Good play calling. And a lot of guys would have gone conservative there.
Yep.
But they came out throwing and they did a great job.
By the way, a lot of the feedback that we're getting on X, and I don't know if people are joking or if they're actually being serious, they're pointing out to us the record of Bill Belichick with and without Tom Brady. I can't get in the argument because it's just, again, we're talking to children.
Don't embarrass yourselves. Yep. The guy won 11 games with Matt Castle. Come on. That's enough already. You're better than that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so basketball tonight. A lot of good games on the schedule. I like how we go from on a Monday night, we have one undefeated team playing, and they survived at BYU. And now tonight we have two teams in action that are undefeated in 20-0. And if you're just tuning into the program right now, Michigan is up to a 12-point favorite now at home against Nebraska. That's right. An undefeated team is catching 12 points. The problem with this is that they have been hit by the flu bug. And from those people that we were getting messages from, like Husker alums earlier today, saying it's like all of their key players, they were getting IVs earlier today, don't know like status going into the game. And I'll point this out. So teams with at least 20 wins and zero losses, going all the way back, it happened in 2014, Syracuse at Pittsburgh. Syracuse was undefeated. They were catching 1.5. They won by 2, and by the way, I think they hit a half-court buzzer beater to win the game. When it's a top-5 matchup, like it is tonight, and the point spread is at least, well, it's in the double digits, right? There are 7 games, and again, tip of the cap here to Scott Seinberg with his numbers at betterday.com. Favorites are 7-0 straight up, 5-2 ATS, 6-1 to the under. The only over was in double overtime, so you take that out, really 6-0 or 7-0 to the under. And the average score, favorite 78, dog 61. Now, I bet under 157.5 earlier today, not because of that specifically, I bet it more because it was the highest number by far in the market. Other books were at 156, but also the flu bug for the Nebraska put me on the under more than anything else.
Yeah.
And actually, I think the total right now for Nebraska, their team total is 72.5 or 73. I don't mind that angle either.
Well, this is a good team. And again, as we've talked about many times, is this the biggest regular season game in Nebraska college basketball history? But Michigan would definitely be happy if they won by 11. So it goes back to the power rating is so high, and based on how they destroyed teams in the non-con, they have failed to cover six in a row. They were laying 24 at Penn State, one by two. They were laying 18 at home to Wisconsin. They lost.
Now, by the way, Penn State's terrible.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin just lost as a 7.5-point favorite on Sunday to USC.
Yep. They're laying big numbers out on the road on that Oregon and that West Coast trip. Didn't get it done. So these are crazy point spreads where it's, again, the team's going to be fine and dandy if they just win by 10 points. That's the other thing you have to factor in, and the 0-6 ATS run. But like these teams, and especially Miami of Ohio, you know, all the talk and the pressure gets on you too. And an excellent job by Arizona last night. But as we go along, this is going to get to Miami of Ohio too, where it's, hey, 25-0. If it gets to that point, 26-0. But they're laying 9.5 tonight. They'll be fine with an 8-point win and a big total tonight against UMass in that game. So I also, it's going to be who dictates tempo in this one. It's hard with a total. But then again, if all these guys have the flu, I think you just have to punt on the game or maybe get involved in play. What do you think of Arkansas tonight? I really come around on this Arkansas team.
Well, they have.
And I know I got a couple texts about getting futures on them before the season started. They've won 7 of 9. They can score. They're 3-point dog at Oklahoma tonight.
It's a high total. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes over. I think if a team scored 90 in this game, I'm not going to be surprised. I just don't want to lay 3 with Calipari on the road. We talked a lot about the freshman playing yesterday, and I didn't even bring up a Cuff, and a Cuff is as good as any of them.
Yeah. What, 43 or something, whatever he had?
The kid gets better like every single game. He produces as well as basically anybody in the entire country. Now, Arkansas is actually 13-7 ATS on the year this year. So that's, you know, 6 games over 500 at this point, 20 games in, covering numbers and meeting expectations and surpassing those. So good job there. I would look at points being scored rather than laying, I think, the full 3 here with Arkansas. Did you ever make a future bet on them?
Yeah, the guy talked me into it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because are you, now the numbers are gone, obviously, on Arizona, but where are you going to be, you think, overall, Tommy Lloyd come tournament time?
It's been ugly.
Is that going to be like the Sam Darnold thing? I still got my questions?
Absolutely. It's fair. They did a good job last year, and they gave Duke all they could handle. The guy lost to Princeton in a 2-15 game. They should have lost to TCU that year.
They should have.
In that second round game. They had to get a steal no call in overtime. But that happened. It's a bad track record.
Yep, agreed.
It's bad, you know, with a lot of talent.
He's got talent.
So I'm very concerned. And not for nothing. And you nailed this last year. What happened? Every one seed got to the Final Four.
Yeah.
So I would expect chaos this upcoming March Madness.
How it flips every year pretty much?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had, by the way, like oodles of talent. Don't forget that. Like every single year at Arizona and super high seeds. Wasn't he a 1 when they survived TCU?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was a 2 and lost
to Princeton. So they're loaded to the gills every single year. I think this year might be a little different.
Well, I hope you're right.
I think that they're special this year.
Yeah.
But I have nothing on that team. I don't have Final Four.
I know the numbers were crazy, and then they got off to a slow start, but St. John's is playing better now.
Took a long time.
Good. I know. Lenardi's got the Johnny's a 5-seed.
5-seed now, huh? Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll get to our in-pocket plays coming up next here on the program.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it.
I bet you
20 bucks, I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're out.
We got streaks in hockey. Good stuff going on. That's 9 in a row, goal in the first 10 for the Rangers, who give up goals for fun. They actually won 4-3. First period goes over. Goal in the first 10 gets there. Wild in action tonight, 14-1 overrun. Seattle Kraken, 14-1 run. Goal in the first 10. Good stuff going on with Buffalo as well. And 11-1 run on the road in Nashville games. Check it all out and read Jonathan Davis every day, VSiN.com, and check out Ian and the guys who tweet out the first 10 and the first periods. And I think it's going to be, listen, both offensive lines, I think, were bad in the AFC title game. But the issues that the Patriots O-line have had the last couple weeks, hello, Seattle pass rush, which also means Drake May taking off and running. So I am there and have added Drake May rushing yards over in the Super Bowl, 37.5. Also, I don't understand. I mean, this is, if you're going to have pass rush and you're going to have, I'm not going to have much time to throw, I think both quarterbacks are going to be doing a lot of dump offs. So they are, it moved to 1.5, 2.5 in some spots. Henderson's not going to have a catch. He's 1.5 yards. He opened, he was a half at one spot. I just think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for Henderson
but you can
and
also,
Stevenson.
Remember, you can throw on the, with running backs in the passing attack, you can get those guys involved against Seattle.
Hello, Corum. Yeah, with that breakdown that Charge had too, which was a lot of dump offs to Corum and Williams.
So what is he to have a catch then?
I think it's I think it's plus money. Let me look. I'll get it again. But okay. It moved today. Also, Capitals Kraken go on the first 10. Shop this. There's big differences out there. There's $1.50 at Circa. There's a 210 and a 220 in other books. And Seattle's on a crazy run. Go on the first 10. Also, first period over in this one tonight. Good luck.
-158 to have a catch. But it's 2.5 yards?
He was a half. Okay.
So then just, yeah, the 2.5 yards.
Catch. Yeah, yeah. Is that what it is? Wow, that's wild.
Okay. Cam Spencer with the assist prop last night. He had 9 at halftime. We like those kind of bets. Ended up with 13 on the game. Congrats to Suze. Suze lives in where, Mass?
Yes.
Boy, we are big-time pro New England guys here today. We won over a lot of them, I think. Talking about how bad the schedule was yesterday, people getting mad at us, and now they have to love us for the pro Belichick stuff today. But congrats to Suze. She laddered him all the way up to 13 assists last night at almost 18-1. I did not do the ladder. I had him over 6.5 minus 130. And I want to see where that number is going to go when Morant's going to be out at more of these games. Probably 9.5 at some point. Tonight, I'm on the under Nebraska, Michigan. Talk about the flu several times. 157.5, and it was a good number at the time that I bet it. And it's going up now at Circa. Scares me a little bit. And Vandy with some guys questionable. One of the better players out as well. Kentucky +6.5. They're playing better basketball. They've won 6 straight. They should have a clear edge in the paint. I think there's a chance to maul Vanderbilt on the glass in this game based on size. And 6.5 is a lot under those circumstances. So I'll take the Wildcats, and it might be kind of a hold-your-nose type of game, but I'm going to war with them tonight.
Weren't you asking for May to have most rushing yards in the game?
Yeah.
Is 6-1 good enough?
No, I'll keep shopping.
Okay.
I want double digits. I think there's going to be a book out there with 10.
You think so?
Yeah, typically that's 13, 14, 15 to 1.
Did you see what JSN is?
For most receiving?
Yes.
$1.80?
What do you think of that?
Tells you that it's going to be value in other guys.
Yeah, right.
Right? What if Gonzalez shuts him down?
Shahid's 25. Pop is 60. Stevenson's 40. Max 16. What was he doing, that lunatic? He's doing, Warriors, come out and play, yay. That movie's from like 1981.
I don't even get the reference.
I know, he was doing that walking into the stadium. Boy, he's a nut. Doesn't wear shoes, coming in barefoot, no shirt on, all this. It's like he's like a Spicoli running around there. Crazy. That's nuts. All right, getting ready for Big Game 60, big deal to match. Save $60 off VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using promo code FTM. Become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. Bet smarter all year long. Full access, every best bet, every host, every guest. The real-time DK and Circa betting splits. AI-powered prop tools, matchup analysis, 24/7 video, and full show replays. VSiN.com/subscribe. Promo code FTM. You know, why not ladder Henderson, too? I mean, he could have a 20-yard catch. I mean, that's
right.
Not bad. Okay, what do you have?
Okay, so if I jump the gun on this, I take it back, and I apologize to Bill Polian on the things that I said, but the reports immediately came out after Bill Belichick was not inducted into the Hall of Fame on his first ballot today, if you can believe this. Yeah, and it's the actual NFL Hall of Fame that we're talking about. J.J. Watt said, is this a different Hall of Fame? This is not the NFL Hall of Fame? How's he not in?
Mike Florio atoned after his horrible tweet yesterday. We got to play neutral site games and conference titles because the fourth quarter was unplayable and unwatchable. He said, if you voted no, you should have to explain your vote, and your vote should be taken away.
And how many times have we said this, by the way?
Yeah.
About Hall of Fame or like award stuff. This one is the truest example ever. They need to find everybody who did this and say, yeah, good run. We're going to find other people to vote because your voice now no longer matters. But anyway, reports came out immediately that Bill Polian, former Bills and Colts GM, was a vocal figure in the Hall of Fame deliberations involving Belichick, with Spygate and Deflategate coming up. This is Ari Mirov, mm-hmm. My Sports Update, who tweeted this out, among others. And the report was he told voters he needs to wait a year as penance for Spygate. Okay? That's one report. This guy's got like a million followers. Now, evidently, that could have been wrong. This is from Matt Verderami.
It's Wickersham and Don Van Natta. I don't think they're going to get that wrong. Okay, sorry.
Oh, did they have that in the story?
Yes.
Oh, they did.
It's in their story.
Oh, it's in their story. Okay.
Napoleon, yeah.
Matt said on Twitter, this is 15 minutes ago, I just spoke on the phone with Bill Polian and asked whether he was an influence on Bill Belichick being snubbed by the Hall of Fame. His quote, that's totally and categorically untrue. I voted for him. End of quote. So if the story's wrong on that, oh boy, they need to...
Well, couldn't he vote yes and still be same guy? What are we doing here?
How would that be possible?
Do you see it?
Well, if that tweet's accurate, I take it back for sure, because that initial report would say otherwise. But how those guys are like respected journalists, man. They won a ton of awards.
A voter who spoke on condition of anonymity said Polian, a chief Patriots rival during their dynasty, told some voters he believed Belichick should wait a year. I can't imagine the guy in the room is going to get that wrong.
Okay.
I don't believe it.
This is from Mike on X. Does this Belichick thing not set the standard that nobody can ever be unanimous their first year ever again? Nobody will ever have the resume of either one of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, how are you going to be unanimous at this point? Another one from Shane just wins. The votes need to be made public.
Yeah, why that could happen, I guess.
Yeah.
Is it?
They need to be outed. It's completely and utterly unacceptable across the board. And again, like I said, somebody, I don't know if Goodell should step in. Imagine that. Or somebody else needs to say, guys, hold on a second here. I'm going to overturn this decision. Because he's the best coach in history. He's won 8 Super Bowls, 6 as the head coach. And he's been to this stupid game every year for like 20 years. Like, travesty. He needs to be in.
Travesty.
There's no Hall of Fame without him being in. And as JT the Brick said, I don't know what happens in the next year. Health concerns?
Mm-hmm.
Like, baseball waited until Pete Rose was dead. And I think a lot of people would say that was an absolute travesty. What if they do it again next year?
I'll apologize tomorrow. I wouldn't put it past Dungy either. I wouldn't put it past Dungy being petty and...
Well, that would
some
be
some of the stuff he
and,
says.
And Dungy's in the Hall of Fame?
He's in the room. He's in there with Polian. Yeah. He's referencing the article.
I know this. We'll have more resolution to this hopefully by tonight. And I would think, my guy, by the time at least we're on the air tomorrow, some clarification and exactly what took place. And hopefully we find out the voters who said no.
It's not one guy. It's 11 people.
A minimum
11 people. No. Sorry,
what if he had like 6 votes to get in?
Watch.
We have to redo everything.
Yeah,
eliminate the other 44 under that example and say, yeah, we're finding new voters. You said Peter King was livid?
He couldn't believe it.
If Peter King had been in the room, he would not have allowed that to happen.
I agree. I can't say what Peter King said when told.
Oh, is that right?
He's quoted in the article.
Okay.
Profanity.
Somebody, that bad job by the room, not stepping up.
And say, what are we doing?
Yes.
This is embarrassing.
Yep.
We're going to get raked over the coals.
Must have been 1,000-1. Primetime's next. Murray Humans will take you through the live betting night tonight in basketball. Good luck tonight.